torture, solitary confinement, child detention, administrative detention, and the continuing occupation and the oppression that automatically enforces, the plight of Palestinian prisoners seems to have steadily gotten worse, especially since 1967, with the world's deafening silence on the issue seemingly protecting Israel's desire for a squeaky clean image of apparent democracy. In this edition of the debate, we'll talk about Palestinian prisoners on this Palestinian Prisoners Day.
Behind these high walls, there are many Palestinian prisoners who are held without having been charged. According to Palestinian officials, more than 6,000 Palestinian prisoners, including women, minors, and even chronically ill people, are held in Israeli jails. Over a dozen Palestinian lawmakers, as well as 20 journalists, are also imprisoned by Israeli authorities. Every year on April 17th, people around the world hold rallies in solidarity with Palestinian inmates to mark the Palestinian Prisoners' Day. On Friday, Israeli troops clashed with protesters marking Palestine Prisoners' Day near the West Bank village of Bilin. The violence was the latest in a series of clashes between Israeli troops and Palestinian demonstrators. Similar rallies were also held in other cities across the occupied West Bank and the Gaza Strip in solidarity with the inmates. Meanwhile, a senior PLO official condemned the imprisonment of Palestinians in the occupied territories and demanded an end to the captivity of people there.
We commend their steadfastness, courage, and determination in defiance of Israel's military occupation and system of enslavement and apartheid. We call on all members of the international community to act on the basis of justice and human rights and bring Israel to compliance for its willful breach of the rights and lives of Palestinian political prisoners.
Early on Thursday, President Mahmoud Abbas announced that there will be no talks with Israel unless all Palestinian prisoners are released. The US-led talks have already been stalled over Israel's settlement activities in the occupied Palestinian territories. Despite widespread global condemnation of Israel's land grab policies, Tel Aviv defiantly continues construction of settlements which are considered illegal under the international law. Palestine formally joined the International Criminal Court earlier this month. Palestine, which has become the 123rd member of the world's permanent war crimes tribunal, says it would file a complaint against Israel. This in a bid to pile pressure on Tel Aviv to stop its expansionist policies. Israel has been accused of committing war crimes against Palestinians in its latest onslaughts on the Gaza Strip. Over 2,140 Palestinians, including women and children, were killed in attacks on the besieged territory last summer. Israel has kept the impoverished territory under siege since 2007 in defiance of international calls to end the crippling blockade. As Israel ignores growing international calls to stop committing crimes against the people of Palestine, many believe resistance is the only way for the Palestinians to fight for their rights.
Let me now introduce our guests for this edition of the debate. We're joined by Dr. Kevin Barrett, who is the editor of Veterans Today, and he is joining us live from Madison. And we're also joined by Mr. George Lambrakis, who is a former U.S. diplomat, who is joining us live from London. Gentlemen, thanks very much for joining us for this edition of the debate. Dr. Barrett, since 1967, anywhere from 40% to 44% of the adult male Palestinian population of the West Bank and Gaza have been detained by Israel. What does that say, do you think, about the importance of the prisoners' issue in the Palestinian context?
Well, the people of Palestine, in a sense, are all prisoners. The territories that have been illegally stolen from the people of Palestine have really been converted into open-air prisons, in particular the Gaza Strip, which is the most densely populated area in the world. And the Palestinians are being brutalized, mass murdered in these onslaughts like we saw last summer in Gaza, which Prime Minister Sharon, Prime Minister Netanyahu, who's just another incarnation of Sharon, calls mowing the lawn. And they've been doing this for years, mowing down Palestinians, calling it mowing the lawn. And they arrest people with impunity without any kind of due process, and in many cases keep them locked up essentially forever. I believe 8,000 children have been imprisoned by the Israelis over the past decade. And the Palestinians are holding exactly zero Israeli prisoners. This is just one aspect of the way that this whole conflict is not really a conflict. It's a complete one-sided massacre. It's a genocide that's being perpetrated by invaders from across the seas who came and stole land that they had no right to, claiming that their 2,000-plus-year-old mythology gives them the right to commit genocide, steal this land, and turn it into an ethnic superiority apartheid state in which people of one ethnic group are superior and everyone else is a second-class citizen, that's the Ubermenschen, are the Jews of the Jewish state, and the second-class citizens, the under people, would be everyone else. This has gone on far too long. Apartheid has been abolished in South Africa. There's no other country in the world that has this kind of official two-class system of untouchables, meaning the indigenous people of that land, and supermen, the invaders from across the oceans who are killing and kidnapping with impunity. It's time for the kidnappings to end, and I don't think it's going to happen because Netanyahu basically just won this election on the platform of continuing and ramping up the genocide of Palestine and of refusing to negotiate.
Okay, Dr. Brady, just allow me to come in here. I do apologize. I want to put some of your points to Mr. Lambrakis, if you allow me. Mr. Lambrakis, Dr. Brett there brought up a couple of points, but one of the main ones that I feel, at least, that comes up a lot is the impunity of Israel when it comes to this issue of Palestinian prisoners. How do you feel about that?
Well, I'm not going to apologize for Israel, that's for sure. I don't think that Americans would defend Israel's right to imprison anyone forever. However, the Israelis claim that they have reasons for the people that they hold in detention, and I don't know enough details, nor would I know enough details about individuals to figure out whether that's true or not. There is no question, in my mind at least, that human rights groups around the world ought to have some entrance into Israel to be able to look at these reasons. I would guess that the reason the Israelis continue to hold these people is why many people is similar to a little bit like Guantanamo Bay. But of course, we in America have released prisoners, some of whom have gone back to attacking the Americans. Undoubtedly, if the Israelis released more prisoners, some of them might still go back to doing what they were doing when they were caught in the first place. On the other hand, they have a few, not too long ago, the Israelis agreed to release several hundred prisoners, and in fact did one prisoner release of several hundred. And the rest of it fell apart when the Gaza, when shots from Gaza came again, and with the Hamas-PLO conflict as to who is going to control the Palestinians. And that is, of course, the basis of all of this, which is there going to be some kind of an agreement, some kind of a peace between Israel and the Palestinians? Unfortunately, I have been following this situation since the 1960s. I would take a little bit, I would disagree that this situation dates back to 1967. I happened to be treating Israeli affairs at the time in the State Department, and that certainly wasn't the case at that time. But it has built up over the years as there have been intifadas, there have been teenagers involved. The Israelis have reacted with tougher and tougher measures. The other side, guided by Hamas, which refuses to agree that Israel should be there in the first place. They should be driven into the sea, a little bit what the other speaker was talking about.
Mr. Mbrokas, if you allow me, I want to put your point of
Israelis
peace.
Israelis do belong in this part of the world.
If you allow me, I want to put your point of peace to Dr. Barrett. Dr. Barrett, Mr. Mbrokas there spoke about peace and how much of an obstacle this is to peace, this issue of prisoners, etc., as well as the division amongst Palestinian factions. How do you feel about that, of course, in the context of these prisoners?
Well, Netanyahu and his Likud faction, who are the direct descendants of the Irgun terrorists and the Jabotinsky wing of the openly genocidal Zionists, the people who said, when we invade Palestine, we are going to have to kill and expel the local inhabitants because that's the only way we can carry out this project. Those, at least they were the honest Zionists, the ones who use this kind of fluff language that we were hearing from the guests to camouflage what's really going on in this genocide, I think in some ways are morally even more culpable than the openly genocidal Hitler-style people like Jabotinsky and today's descendants like Netanyahu. Netanyahu's election signals that the majority of the master race in Israel, the self-described master race, says that they're going to keep going and they're going to keep stealing more land. They're not going to have any real peace negotiations. And therefore, it's clear that Netanyahu and his people are not going to be releasing prisoners, just like they're not going to be having any serious negotiations because they're not willing to live with the only possible peace plan that essentially every major government in the world supports, which is completely unjust to the Palestinians. That is for the Israelis to withdraw to their 1967 borders, to recognize the right of return in principle, and perhaps not completely implement it in terms of all of the world's 8 million Palestinians. This is the plan that everybody knows is the only peace plan, and the Israelis are not willing to go there. Netanyahu is one of the many extremist Israelis who has actually sworn a blood oath. Alan Hart, the BBC correspondent from the Middle East, a close personal friend of Yasser Arafat, Golda